contact with people since they considered us a cult, and we had to develop relationships with people before we could even have the privilege of sharing the gospel. Well, that was Donatello. Well, one of the times that I came and I spoke to your ladies group, the ladies said, well, we would like to do something. We'd like to keep in contact with your ladies. What can we do? So I said, okay, well, let's try correspondence. We gave the list of the ladies, and the ladies picked out an Italian lady to pray for and to maybe send a card to once in a while. I said, I'll translate. Well, from that, Polly Hahn, who some of you old-timers remember, she picked Donatella. And she and Donatella were absolutely alike.
Soulmates.
Both suffered with depression. Both had children who had walked away from the Lord, daughters that had walked away from the Lord. And so they started. Now, Donatella and Polly did not have a little note. They wrote epistles to one another. It would take me often days to translate all of this, 7-8 pages. But Polly Hahn taught the word of God in her letters to Donatella. Now you say, but you were there to teach her. Why was that important? Because Donatella suffered with depression, and every once in a while she would fall deep into depression, even after her salvation, and things would go wrong, or her husband lost his job, and her daughter walked away from the Lord, and so many difficult things. And I would share the word with her, trying to help her to overcome this. And then a letter would come from Polly. Now, Polly had no idea what was happening in Donatella's life, but God did. And God would put on Polly's heart to share just exactly what Donatella needed. And she'd say, this lady doesn't even know me. And God is using her to say these things. And it would just, God has not forgotten about me, and God will meet my needs. God will help us get over this, and God will help us to move on. And it was just instrumental. And now, Donatella is the ladies' Bible study teacher. And I'm sitting in her class, and she's sharing the word. And I had the privilege of seeing all of that happen. So I thank you, church, because really, in a way, you had that part in Donatella's development as a church leader. Last time we had baptisms, just before we left, 10 adults were baptized, and 3 of them Donatella stood with, because 3 of them, God had used her to bring these ladies to salvation and to disciple them and to bring them to this point. So it's just a matter of multiplication, and you had a part in that. So thank you. Thank you for your ladies. Do that. Continue to realize that you can minister even to people in other lands.
Thanks, Rachel. Well, when I was 12 years old, and I'm sorry that Ben's not here right now. I really want to talk to him. But when I was 12 years old, in a missions conference in my church in upstate New York, God called me to the mission field. I knew it. And obviously, I was the smallest guy in my class, always. And you would look at yourself and say, well, how in the world could you ever be anything for God? And you look at this garden hose funnel. It's only important because as it would transfer the rich, gorgeous olive oil into various vases and so on. It's not worth very much, but if it's in the right hands, it can become something very beautiful. And, you know, that's how it is with our life. And we sang earlier, Amazing Grace, because it is only by God's grace. God doesn't look down and say, oh, there's a pretty good one right there. He'd be great. You know, he doesn't do that. He chose us for his grace. Many times he chose the person. Everyone would look and say they would never do anything for God, and he chose right them. He chose them to do something for him. So I'd just like to take a couple cents and express my praise to the Lord. for his grace in my life. Just like to take a second to encourage you to stop by the display table. We're not missionaries from Africa, so we don't have snake skins or anything interesting. I did bring a couple soccer shirts from our church soccer team where I play, by the way, and our local Perugia team. And there's a little booklet if you'd like to sign up to receive our email updates, which my wife so wonderfully does. And also, did anyone see a book that I mailed to this church about 4 years ago? I mailed two copies of a biography of our life, our ministry. Anybody see that book? The name of it is His Story in Italy. His Story in Italy. And it's the story of what God has done in our lives in Italy these years. A second edition is coming out, and I will send a couple copies to the church. But if you'd like to have a copy of your own, it's a gorgeous book, if I say so myself. Hardcover, full color, pictures you won't believe. Picture of me when in the years that I came to this church the first time in the fall of 1967. Was anybody here then? We came from BBC. There was a group of about 10 of us. We drove a van out. Russ Howard was the lead team leader. He was a few years older than us, an upperclassman, and several kids from the college, and our trumpet trio, the Anchorman, and a vocal quartet. And there's a picture in that book of us, of our quartet in those days. It's a joy for me to, and if you would like to have that, a copy of that book, sign up and put under the book, put X, and you'd like to be interested in, for a free will offering basis. It is a gorgeous book, kind of book you want to just sit on your coffee table. It's very nice. And then, talking to Dave and Ruby last night, we have done three or four different tours in Italy. When I was in college, my most esteemed professor was Dr. Rembert Carter, who's now with the Lord. And for all these years, we kind of prayed about doing something together, a tour. And so we came up with an idea, the Italian Christian History Tour. And what happens is for about 2 weeks, we see Rome, Assisi, Perugia, a weekend in our church, of course, Florence, Pisa, the Waldensian Valley. You know, there was a Protestant movement in Italy 400 years before Martin Luther. They were all killed, by the way, most of them. But and then on over to Trent, where the Council of Trent was held in 1540, the Counter-Reformation, the cathedral where they had those meetings. And then on over to Venice, which was also very important in Reformation times. A lot of people came through there. And then on back to Perugia. And people have come on that tour, mostly people from our supporting churches. And you know what? They all go home, and I say, what was the most exciting thing you saw? And they've been to the Vatican Museum. They've been all these different museums and the Colosseum, all that. What was the most exciting thing you saw? And they say, your church. I mean, they've been praying, they've been investing all these years, and really, to come and see what God is doing in Italy would bless your heart. So if you might be interested in information about that, you just mark that, and we'll we'll keep you informed when the time comes. Lord willing, it's going to be in October of 2017, Lord willing, not very far away. We got a new prayer card, so we had to Photoshop, put some white hair on there, because we've been around so long, people say, you need to have white hair. So we put it on the prayer cards, if they're at the table. And we're just so glad to be here. If we feel so bad, we couldn't just spend a couple weeks. But you know, we're going to be home 9 months. Be away from our church 9 months. Praise the Lord. My son's there preaching. My son-in-law is there preaching. And God is blessing so much you wouldn't even believe it, what God is doing there. TV program go on because they come to our church and they video. Whoever's preaching is going to be on the air next week. So that's how we do it. But in these 9 months, we, with Lord willing, will be in about 50 churches. And many Sundays, to do that, many Sundays mean morning in one and evening in another. And just appreciate your prayers. It used to be a piece of cake, but, you know, we're getting up there in years. And for we're wondering, how many more of these things are we going to do? I don't know. We'll have to see. But appreciate your prayers in this time. And unfortunately, that means our time here is just running like the Toccata and Fuga, you know, that organ, in and out. That's it. But we're glad that we're here and trust that we can be a blessing to you. Our time is just about gone. If I go about to noon, I hope that doesn't bother somebody. As one of my professors, a beloved man of God, Wendell Compton, with whom we traveled much as a quartet, we'd go there and he'd get up and preach. And he said, now, fellas, we didn't come all this way to give a sermonette. And he would preach. So I'll let you out before one, I'm sure of that. But anyway. What the Lord laid on my heart to share with you is in the book of Philippians. You know, the Apostle Paul was in prison in Rome. We'll see that too in Rome, Paul's prison. He was in prison in Rome, and he wrote this letter to the Philippians. And you'd think he'd be complaining and just say, well, God is not fair, and I'm the Apostle Paul. What am I doing in jail and all this? It is a letter so full of joy and thanksgiving that it behooves us to read it often. And the last chapter especially, where he's just opening his heart to this church at Philippi, these people who had given much to encourage him in his life and in his ministry. I'd like to start with verse 10, Philippians 4. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned that the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me with giving and receiving except only you. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, we just ask in this time, as we want to worship you, we want to listen to your word, that your spirit will speak to our hearts and encourage us in you and your responsibility as we serve you together. In Christ our Savior's name we pray. Amen. We rejoice and thank God for you. Since the first day I was in this church, we've had a relationship And then we were able to come back, present the ministry, and you felt as a body to take us on for support. And you have been so faithful over the years, through thick and thin. But God has blessed. And our partnership in the ministry has also been a blessing to the heart of God, I know. Many years. Just think of the fact that God sent us to Italy. We didn't know the language. We had no idea what we were doing. And we were scared to death. I tell in my book that the day we got on a plane to fly to Italy, we were leaving for 4 years. I felt like I was going to a prison term, 4 years. I felt like I was going to prison. I was so scared. But God was so gracious. So gracious. And to think that I've had the privilege since 1979 of sharing the gospel on television in our whole central Italy. We have a radio station that's incredible, and sharing God's word. And because of that, God has formed in that place a local church, which has grown from nothing to a very large, in Italy it would be called a mega church, believe me, what God is doing there now. But you have been faithful on many occasions. Special gifts, Christmas gifts, gifts for the elevator, which we're still praying about working on. But we couldn't have done it without you. I remember one time we were the Lord opened the TV up, and we were spending all the money we had in our account, and we were going in the hole. Every month we were going in the hole. And the mission said, well, you better maybe plan a trip home to raise some money. I said, yeah, okay. So we had two little kids at the time, maybe three, third one just born. And so Rachel, she's all going to go home. She packed the suitcase, everything all ready to go home. We get a phone call from the mission. Oh, you just had a gift come in from a medical doctor. It'll carry you on for probably another year. You don't need to come home now. So I had honey unpack the suitcases, and she did it, and she stayed with me. But you have been a part of that all these years. Your partnership in the ministry has been greatly appreciated by us, by the Whitmans. You know, we've walked by faith for many years. We've tried twice to become Italian citizens. But they won't accept us because we don't have a guaranteed income. I mean, who more than God can guarantee your income? But they don't see it that way. But we do. And we have seen God month by month meet needs. Our work fund for many years has been about $8,000 between TV and radio expenses, and literature. And that is a lot of money. But you know, God has sent that in month by month as we've walked by faith. Our children grew up knowing how we lived. And we didn't have money to do a lot of special things. But our kids, from day one, that they started playing an instrument, like my dad did with me, who was a pastor for 53 years, they were up front. We had 15 people in church, but they were sitting up front playing their instruments. The ministry was part of their lives, too. People say, how in the world do you get your kids to go back to the mission field? Well, we didn't do it and didn't expect God to do it. But it was their burden, their ministry as well. Your faithfulness along the times has met some great needs. And as the special gifts come in at Christmas, it's allowed us to do some special things. What helped us greatly in the years the kids were in college, we were able, with Christmas gifts that came in, to bring our children home for the holidays from the college. And that was a blessing to us. And I'm sure them being able to come over, plug back into the ministry, was so important in their preparation and their calling. Your partnership in the ministry has encouraged us. I think how Paul, He was sitting in jail, in prison. Jail's glorified. In prison, he was locked in this basement place, cold, damp, and he was encouraged by thinking of these believers. And you know, we've been encouraged by thinking of you and your faithfulness. And all the obstacles you've had, God is faithful. God is faithful. And that has encouraged us as we've thought of you as well. Our confidence in God has been encouraged by you. Times when we didn't know how we were going to make it, God met needs. And you were a part of that. Your sharing in our ministry was consistent. You know, I don't know how many times we've had letters from churches and they say, you know, we really feel bad about this, but we're not going to be able to continue your support because our air conditioning went out in the church and we got to fix that. Or we've got this other issue and we're sorry. But you know what? God takes care of us. And I don't know how many times I have gotten a letter. Back in those times, you didn't have email, but I've gotten a letter saying, so sorry, we have to drop your support. And the next day, I've gotten a letter saying, God has led us to increase our support from another church. So God takes care of us. And you've been so important to that. But God's blessings in our ministry are yours as well. Paul says a really wonderful thing here. Verse 15, you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Think of that. I for a period, we had 60 supporting churches. He had apparently one for a while. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. You know, as you invest in God's work around the world, you're not just sending money to missionaries. You're not just sending money to God. You are receiving from the Lord blessings for what you're doing and encouragement. I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. My dad always used to say, God is not a debtor of anyone. And when we give to God, he will bless. I have received full payment and more. I'm well supplied. Paul's sitting in prison. He says, I'm pretty well off here. I'm doing fine. Rachel mentioned the baptisms. We just had, it's been about a month ago, 10 adults follow the Lord and believers baptized. We had 15 or 16 who applied. But as we went through the training and preparation, we realized that they really maybe hadn't fully understood the gospel. And so we asked them to wait. But 10 adults follow the Lord and believers baptism. We've been working on our building. You know, we were able to buy this building. And finally, our renter, who helped us for 10 years paying his rent, helped pay our mortgage, I had to say to him, look, we need the room. If you could find some place to go, you don't have to pay us anything for leaving. You just go. And he did. And that put us under a little pressure because we had to come up with about $1,200 extra every month in our offerings at church, we had a big gift come in that helped us. But we just recently were able to take out the middle wall in this building and replace it with a folding wall, like they have in the hotels. And that was a huge project, but God had sent gifts to help us do that. And we had the money. So when we did our baptisms, we had to open this whole wall up as nearly 250 people were there. at least a third of them unsaved people, possibly half unsaved relatives who came to see this baptism. I wish you could have been there to share in that joy and that excitement. But God has met our needs through you. Your partnership in the ministry has been very pleasing to God. Paul talks about this. Pleasing to God. A sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Well-pleasing to God. As we think of these years of ministry, the people who have come to Christ. And I wish I had time to tell you the stories. Many of these stories, testimonies, are in my book. Testimonies of faith of people who have been saved has been well-pleasing to God. Your sacrifice. And we know that. We are humbled. And I tell our people in Italy, there are people in America that are going without that new car. They're going without the new carpet. They're going without those storm windows. They're going without so that they can invest in the ministry here in Italy. And they are ever so grateful for that. So God has accepted this sacrifice for his work. And God will continue to meet your needs according to his riches and glory. You know, we love to pull that verse out. We're at the end of the month. We've wasted money on who knows how many things, and we don't have enough now to pay the rent. And we say, but my God will supply, you know, God will supply our needs, but he may just say, wait a minute, I already supplied it to you, and you've wasted it. So we need to, as believers, watch where we're spending our money. If we're honest, we spend it for a lot of things that we could really do without. But God, when we have sacrificed for his ministry, as what they're doing here, they had sacrificed for Paul's ministry. And Paul said, my God will supply your needs according to his riches in glory. And then, as we think of the partnership in this ministry, it has been for God's glory. And when you think, Italy is called by all Protestant missions the graveyard of missionaries. We are dinosaurs. 50% of the new missionaries in Italy don't even last 3 or 4 years. Language. Just when you step off the plane, you feel like you're in a cloud where the Roman church really, really, as the Communist Party is very large, all that, but the Roman church is very strong and you're always up against it. And many people just thought it would be easier. Many people are out there trying, but it has happened to me. One church sent me, oh, how many baptisms, how many conversions this past year? I wrote back, 0 conversions, 0 baptisms, but 59 people have clearly rejected the gospel. They never sent me another questionnaire, but they still support us. People come and they have no idea how difficult it is. And if you come there thinking that your ministry and your success is resting on your shoulders and your job and your responsibility to get people saved, you're not going to last. But if you know that God has put you there, if you know that God is choosing people, has chosen people, and God is bringing people to salvation, and if you know that salvation is of the Lord, you're going to just keep giving out the word. Just giving out. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if this is done, you're going to be there long term. You're going to be there. Paul closes this section saying, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. It's all for God's glory. Just like to, in summarizing, in this last section, Paul says, I rejoiced greatly. He found joy in his condition, in his suffering. He found joy in their partnership. I tell my people, I find the most joy in my week in prison. I have a couple prison ministries. I go into a high security prison. I have men in my class who have 3 life sentences. They'll never go out, but they've been saved. And they're so excited about God and about His Word. And we just have a wonderful joy together reading God's Word and praying. Joy. I rejoiced. For I've learned, Paul says, verse 17, learned by experience, in whatever situation I'm in, to be content. And you know, we have learned that. We learn living without things. How much joy you can have when you know you're doing it for God. We've learned that. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. We've learned those things. And I know you have too. As you've trusted God in your lives. And then we can truly say, I can do all things through Christ so He strengthens me. I used to think of that verse when I was going to go on the wrestling mat. And that guy, he looked so tough, you know. But that's not what it's talking about. God will give us the strength as we trust Him in those difficult times. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Paul's love for these Philippians as they shared in his ministry, as they were partnering in his ministry, not because he needed the money, he did, but he says, because I want fruit to abound to your account. When we get to heaven, how exciting is it going to be to see people who came to know Christ because you were faithful in supporting a ministry there? How exciting is that going to be? It's going to be very exciting. Fruit to your account. And at the same time, we learn trust. Because as we sacrifice for God, we see Him meet needs in incredible ways. My God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. And we're just doing it for God's glory. That's all. We're not doing it so people we can be so famous. I have to tell you, I've been on TV so long that people do recognize me everywhere I go. They may not like me. They may be embarrassed to tell me they watch. But we're not doing it for us. We want God's name to be uplifted. We want them to know Him, know His forgiveness. It's for God's glory. And if God has given you strength to be faithful in your partnership with us and others around the world, it's only for God's glory. And when we get to heaven, what a joy to be able to embrace our brothers and sisters in Christ who came to know Him through our part that we had as well in sacrificing for that ministry. Thank you. God bless you. Let's pray. Lord, we want to pray today and thank You for Your goodness, Your graciousness in our life, the way You've met our needs all these years, the way You've blessed this church and helped it to carry on in some very difficult times, but You've been faithful. As we look to the future, we are convinced that You will continue to bless and guide in the same way You have in the past. Pray for the pastor and his wife. Thank You so much for them, for their calling in the ministry. You're equipping them, and You'll continue to bless and use them for Your glory. We think these dear saints, some we've known for years, some we've just met. You'll encourage them as they reach out, as they share the gospel with their friends, their relatives, their neighbors, as they watch You work in their hearts. And the fact we've been able to be partners for so long in this ministry is just by Your grace And we look to the future to see what all you would still like to accomplish through us together for your glory. In Christ our Savior's name we pray. Amen.